Small businesses. Direct Line guarantee to be any public liability insurance quote for the same cover. Can your insurance do that? New customers only. Qualifying criteria apply. Underwritten by UK Insurance Limited.
Wednesday, February 3rd, 2016, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. Hey, you know, we release a new podcast every single Wednesday, right around noon, Mountain Standard Time, and we try to bring you a unique outlook on the world of sports, try to have fun, try to give you a common sense approach to what is going on in the sports world. You can download the podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, or you can head over to our website and you can listen to it there. Head over to Daily Dose Sports, D-A-L-Y, dailydosesports.wordpress.com. We do post the podcast there every single week. Plus, we put up an article or two every week that you will enjoy. Head over and check it out. If you've got a question, you've got a comment, got something you want to let us know here at the show, send it to us. We'd love to hear from you. dailydosesports@gmail.com. And feel free to send us, you know, along. Maybe you have a request. Maybe you have some insight on a top five. Maybe you have something that you would like to share with us. Feel free. Of course, you can follow us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter as well. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Today on the show, we are going to give you our Super Bowl 50 preview. Super Bowl 50 coming up this Sunday between the Carolina Panthers and the Denver Broncos. We're going to give you our own unique Daily Dose Super Bowl preview. Also, today we're going to be joined by a very special guest. Now, this is a guest that goes back to the old radio show. This is a guest that we have had on a few times. Raymond in Washington, D.C., one of the first callers to ever call the Daily Dose. He's actually even stopped by and been in studio at the Daily Dose studios. The great thing about Raymond, and it's always a little bit iffy when you're talking to Raymond. The great thing about him is he has no problem telling us exactly what he thinks. You might not always agree with him. I know I don't always agree with him. I can tell you right now, it doesn't always go smoothly. You could hear some disagreements between us. That's just how it seems to go. But he's going to tell you exactly what he thinks. We'll get his thoughts on the NFL season and who he thinks is going to win Super Bowl 50. Should be interesting. It's always interesting. I don't know if it's good, but it's always interesting. You have to see what kind of mood he's in. And it's not that he's moody, but he can be sometimes a little grouchy sometimes. So you just never know. You never know what you're going to get there. Plus we will have our Daily Dose top five as we do every single week, bring you the Daily Dose top five. It's always a popular segment. You never know which way it's going to go, because it can just go a number of different ways, but you got to stick around for the Daily Dose top five. A few things before we get to Raymond. First off, got about a foot of snow on Monday night here in Denver. I'm in Denver, Colorado. Got about a foot of snow. Yesterday, Tuesday, we had, you know, the kids were off of school. We had the snow day. It's always interesting. So, you know, everybody's off of school, and there's a lot of people that are telecommuting or doing, you know, whatever they can to work from home. The kids are home. I actually had to drive out to the airport. I had to go out to Denver International and pick up some family out at the airport. It was interesting because I'm driving out to the airport. And if you haven't been to Denver, or if you're not familiar with the situation or whatever, we have one of the best international airports in the world here in Denver. The problem is they built it out in like Topeka, Kansas. So it's out about, you know, I don't know, 100 miles east of the city. If you're coming to Denver, don't stay at the airport. It does you no good. You're not in the city. You're just out in the middle of nowhere. So I got to drive out there to the airport. I am driving out there. And like I said, we got about a foot of snow. And I'm driving on one of those kind of rural type of roads. You know, it's not out in the middle of nowhere, but it's kind of out by itself. And I'm driving out toward the airport, and you know, there's snow blowing across. There's some slippery patches. There's some icy stuff. And we're cruising along. It's a two-lane kind of highway. I'm not going to say it's a full-on highway, but it's like a 55 kind of thing, 55 miles an hour. Driving along out to the airport, and as I'm cruising along, there's a car in front of me. We're both going along probably around 45 or 50. We're not full-on, but you know, 45, 50 miles an hour. We're cruising along, just kind of keeping an eye for slick spots. As we come up toward a bridge up a hill, we see this car, and this car is doing about 20, 25 miles an hour. Now, like I said, from Colorado, born and raised here, driven in snow my entire life. What are you doing? Especially to get up a hill, you can't be going slow. You gotta pick it up a little bit. Bridges are going to be icy. You've got it. Come on, let's get going. And I'm like, what is this person doing? What is this person doing? We finally get up over the, now everybody's almost having to stop for this car. Everybody's having to slow down for this car. We're driving along. Oh, can you please? Finally, we get to a section where there's two lanes and we can get around. And as we pull up to the car that is slowing both myself and another car down, I look at the license plate. Where do you think it's from? Of course, Florida. Florida license plate. And I look at the driver, and the driver is like a young guy. He's probably in his early 20s, and he is just white knuckling, holding on for dear life, trying to drive in the Colorado snow. Now, here's the thing. Colorado is a beautiful state. Love it here. Lived here my whole life. We welcome all visitors, but you got to go home. You can't stay here. Especially if it's snowing, you need to stay in some sort of safety zone. You can't be out on the roads driving. You're just clogging things up for the rest of us. Welcome to Colorado. Enjoy your time here. Now, please, please go home. Speaking of going home, got a few things coming out in the world of sports that I want to get to. First of all, Denver Broncos out in Northern California for the Super Bowl. You know, Gary Kubiak, the head coach for the Broncos, he decided he would take the entire roster, not just the 53. He took guys on the practice squad. He took guys on the injured reserve. He took everybody out there. I understand it. Hey, everybody's a part of this. Good move by Gary Kubiak. Here's the problem. On Tuesday, practice squad rookie safety Ryan Murphy and his brother were detained and questioned as part of a prostitution sting in San Jose. Murphy eventually was released and not charged in the incident, but the Broncos have sent Murphy home. Gary Kubiak said, although practice squad safety Ryan Murphy was not cited by police, we decided it was best for the team if we continued our preparations for Super Bowl 50 without him. Now, here's the problem. First off, you're practice squad guy. You're not even backup. Backup to the backup, your practice squad. You're not on the active roster. Second off, you're trying to get your name out there that you can be a player at this level. Really? This is what you're going to do in your big moment. I get to go to the Super Bowl. I get to go out with the team. You're calling your mom and dad. Hey, I'm out here. This is what you're doing? A few things. Now, first off, Ryan Murphy, when I heard the name, I went, who? Like, he's not anywhere on the squad. He's not any type of a player. Second thing I thought, why did they have Eugene Robinson do the rookie symposium this year? Like, that seems like an odd choice. I'm not saying he doesn't have some things to bring to the table. I'm just saying it seems like an odd choice that you would have selected him to teach these rookies about what to do at the Super Bowl. Obviously, Ryan paid a little too close attention to that symposium. Couple other things that I want to talk about. Did you see that the Kansas City Royals have released their promotional schedule for 2016? You might not have noticed this. Kansas City Royals, obviously with the success that they have had recently, released their promotional schedule. And here's the thing that I had to take a look at. Here's the thing that I had to kind of wait a second. Friday, August 5th. Now, I'm assuming they're going to change this. I'm assuming they're going to change this. But as of right now, you can go to the schedule if you want. You can go to kansascity.royals.mlb.com, whatever it is, and you can look at the schedule. As of right now, Friday, August 5th, they are scheduled to play the Toronto Blue Jays at home. And they are going to have their summer fireworks presented by whoever. They're going to have their summer fireworks show on Friday, August 5th. On that same night against the Blue Jays is also Epilepsy Awareness Night. Now, I'm not a doctor. I don't play a doctor on TV. I suppose I can impersonate a doctor for about an hour every Wednesday on the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. But is this the best decision we've ever put out there? I don't know. I don't know if that affects anything. I really? You can't bump Epilepsy Awareness Night to the next night? Because right now they're scheduled on the same night. That doesn't seem to me like a good fit. Maybe I'm mistaken. If there's someone out there that knows, no, that is a good fit. That's exactly the type of stimulant that they need. It just seems like an odd choice to have it that night. I bet they'll change it. I'm going to assume they'll change it. Because otherwise, come August 7th, we're going to have some different kind of headlines coming out. Of course, college football signing day is today. You're starting to see some different guys. You know, this is the day that these colleges sign these high school seniors, and now you're officially coming here, and you've got to sign the actual letter of intent. No more just a verbal or that kind of thing. You've actually got to sign a piece of paper. I'm coming to your school. You're starting to see some guys, you know, change. They've got the twists and turns. They've got the five different hats out there, and here's my problem with this. We don't have any idea if these guys are going to be players or not. Like, the experts consider and say, we know this guy's going to be a star, and maybe one or two of those guys. Other than that, we really don't know. You know why we think a guy's going to be a star? Because of who's recruiting him. Because other than that, we really don't have any idea. I don't have any idea what's driving these kids. So if you see the signing day stuff, don't get too high. Don't get too low. When you watch this stuff, because we don't have any idea what these kids are going to be about. Now, I can have a general idea that when I look at the University of Colorado and they don't sign anyone that anybody wanted in the whole nation, I have a general idea. But it also doesn't mean that if I sign 50,000 five stars, it guarantees success. We've got a long time to go. So don't get too high, don't get too low over college football signing day. You might have seen that former Dallas Cowboys running back Joseph Randall, it has been brought out now, was apparently betting on sports. You know, the Cowboys cut him back in November. He'd been arrested a few times. He had been in some trouble a few times. But I think part of the reason that they cut him was also because of the fact that they found out he was betting on sports. Now, they say he wasn't betting on the NFL. But I don't know how much we believe that. Because if there's anything that's going to kill a league quick, it's the idea that maybe some of this stuff is manufactured. Can't be betting on sports. Cannot be betting on sports. I'm telling you right now, Joseph Randall had some trouble, had some off-field things. He won't ever play again. I'll call that right now. He will not play again. You can't bet on sports and be that is a line you cannot cross. That is a fine line that you cannot cross. Speaking of crossing lines, Johnny Manziel, well, you know what? Is Raymond there? If Raymond's there, let's bring him in. I want to ask him a little bit about Johnny Manziel and the Cleveland Browns, because I'm sure that he has a little bit of thought on that. If he's there, yeah, let's bring him over. Like I said before, one of the first callers ever to the Daily Dose, joining us right now, one of my favorite callers, Raymond in Washington, D.C. Raymond, thanks for joining us. I appreciate you being with us here on Super Bowl week.
No problem, see?
There's a couple things that I want to talk to you about. I want to get your thoughts on a few different things. Raymond is a guy that if you're not sure about his opinion, the good thing is you can just ask him, and he's glad to voice it to you. There's a few things coming out this week, breaking news-wise, that I want to get your thoughts on. It sounds like the Cleveland Browns are about to be done with quarterback Johnny Manziel. It's not a huge surprise there, but they're saying as of March 9th or whatever it is, when they're allowed to cut him, they're going to probably cut him and be done with him. I don't have so much of a question about that. Is Johnny Manziel done? Have we seen the last of Jonathan Football in the NFL?
Well, no. Jerry Jones is probably waiting with his arms open for him to give him a chance, but he hadn't shown anything. I wouldn't give him a chance.
You wouldn't let him have another shot?
Well, I wouldn't if I were Jerry Jones.
Yeah, Jerry Jones is an idiot, though.
but, you know, he has to earn it. He hasn't done anything. And clearly doesn't take the game seriously, you know, until he gets his stuff together. He's just another number.
That's my biggest problem with the guy. It's not that you look at him and say physically he's incapable of doing things. This year there were small flashes though of with the Cleveland Browns, he was capable of at least doing some things. This is a kid that just doesn't have his head right, doesn't have his life together. He's just a disaster off the field. And if I can't trust you off the field, then I can't really do much with you on it.
Exactly. But you know, another way to look at it is, you know, maybe it's Cleveland. I mean, I'd lose my mind too if I was in Cleveland. There's nothing to do. So maybe he just needs to change scenery.
Wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. We've seen people in Cleveland. It seems like you've had, you know, the wide receiver back there. You've had a few guys back there that are getting in trouble. Yeah, you might be right. Maybe he just needs to change the scenery. And maybe it's just when you live in that city, eventually your brain just starts to melt or something. It sounds like Detroit Lions wide receiver Calvin Johnson is really going to give it up. I know we heard those rumors. We heard that a little while back. But he has now told the team he's still planning to retire, and that he's kind of sticking with that. The guy is only 30 years old. he takes a lot of hits. I look at this situation, I think he's probably doing what we'd all like to do, and that's retire at the age of 30. Do you think he's really done? Is Calvin finished?
I think he's pulling a Carson Palmer on this.
Do you? He just wants out?
Yeah, I do. I think that he wants out of Detroit. Do you blame him?
No, I don't blame him.
I mean, it's not that far from Flint. The water's probably close to Flint, so I'd want out of there, too.
You're saying this goes back to the fact that he can probably right now light his water on fire.
That's right.
Well,
yeah, it's related. Flint is not that far from Detroit. He wants out of there. He probably had a drink of water.
Here's the thing that I worry about, though, because we've already seen the Detroit Lions ruin one guy with Barry Sanders. And Barry, when he said this, we kind of thought the same thing. We were like, well, maybe he just wants to trade. He just wants to get out of that, you know, awful franchise. And then he was like, no, seriously, I'm done.
I mean, can you blame him?
No.
Detroit. It's another one of those Detroit, Cleveland. Athletes don't want to play there.
Well, they just seem like they get so many things wrong. It seems like they never can get out of their own way. Calvin Johnson has, I don't think he has the career that when he came in we thought he was going to have. But you just see this. You want to talk about flashes of greatness. He has these flashes where you're like, oh my goodness, if he was with a real team, the things that he would be capable of doing, he's bigger, stronger, faster than everyone else on the field. But he's catching balls from like Matt Stafford and you know, his running back we can't even name. It's just Detroit's a mess.
Well, he did have a down year.
Yeah, and he's banged up physically.
Year. I mean, he was fairly healthy this year as opposed to other years, and he had a down year. So,
would you would give it up if you were him?
Need to take a change of scenery.
Yeah, I think he's done. I think he looks at it and says, "I've made enough money, and what else do I need to do? It's not like I'm going to go somewhere else. I mean, I guess what are you going to go to New England and be like Randy Moss or something? But I don't know. He kind of sounds like he's finished. He kind of sounds like he's had enough. Hey, before we get to the NFL, and I do have some NFL things I want to talk to you about, and of course Super Bowl 50, going to do our Super Bowl preview show today. But while I have you here, I want to have a little bit of little bit of a conversation about the NBA. There's a couple of stories out in the NBA I want to get your opinion on. The Golden State Warriors are 44-4. Can anybody in the NBA possibly hang with this team?
They've perfected the small ball.
Yes, they have.
And I think the only way to really beat them is you got to go small ball with them. But do you have a better... Is there a better small ball five than Draymond Green?
No, because they can't defend the perimeter.
Around them, it's just too much. They're light years ahead of everybody else with this small ball stuff. So until you know people catch up, you know, with the small ball and get some players and stuff, they're going to be rolling. But the key is you got to go small ball with them. I think.
I agree with you, because once they go to that smaller lineup, you are left trying to chase these quick little guys around, and there is no one that can defend perimeter-wise against the likes of those guys. You got Klay Thompson, you've got Steph, you've got Draymond. Draymond is so good, he is starting to make me think he should be the MVP this year, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but when you watch him and what he does for them offensively and defensively, he's making a pretty strong case for it.
Yeah, he definitely is. I mean, of course, you know, Steph is the MVP and all, but, you know, what really makes that work for them is Draymond Green. Really, he really does make it work. He makes it all. Where he's able to defend, rebound, pass the ball. He does it all. So
they've got 44 wins right now. Do you give them any chance to hit 72, to break the 72 that the
Almost
Bills have?
Definitely. Out west, they're rolling through everybody. They don't lose at home. I don't see why not.
There's so many bad teams, too. I think that attributes to it. There are a ton of bad teams. If we sit here and we name the best teams in the NBA, we're going to name like five teams.
I agree.
There's just horrible basketball teams. The only teams that legitimately have a shot, any shot whatsoever at winning the whole thing, you've got Golden State. Let's put San Antonio in there. We'll put Cleveland in there. I'll put Oklahoma City in there, and that might be stretching, and I am hard-pressed to find out.
I think we'll stop at four, in fact.
Wow. That's bad basketball. I mean, and it's not their fault. They play who's in front of them, but there's bad. If you put this team, you put the 2015 Golden State Warriors onto the floor with the 96 Chicago Bulls, who's winning that game?
Golden State wins that game.
Get out of here. Stop that.
Because they just score and score and score and score, and I don't think the Bulls can defend them.
Here's the problem. Chicago could go small ball with you because they could put Rodman at the five.
Rodman's not going to score for you, though.
No, he's not going to score you, but he's going to make Draymond work really, really hard to get anything on him. Here's the other problem. Are we playing with the 96 fouling rules, or are we playing with the 2015 fouling rules? Because if we're playing in 2015, Mike's getting 85.
Well, yeah. Well, I guess if we were to go back to the Bulls era,
right,
then Golden State might not fare too well.
Well, because Steph's going to get knocked to the floor like a chump. And I love Steph.
That's the only way to defend him.
But they're going to beat the crap out of him.
They are.
Yeah, I don't know. I wish we could get that. I think that would be fun to watch. It would be more fun to watch than anything I'm watching in the NBA this year, for sure. Because right now they're just steamrolling everyone. Are there any other teams? Are there any teams that anybody's missing out on that you're looking at and saying, okay, hey, here's a team you might not know about in the NBA that might sneak into the playoffs, might be decent, worth watching?
I mean, at this point, the NBA, football's not over. The NBA hasn't even started.
Right.
I don't think there's no surprises right now. Surprises, there are teams that are not playing well that are supposed to be better. But as far as being like a sleeper team or something like that, I don't see it right now. I think that the top teams right now are the ones that are going to be in the Western Conference, be in the finals, and are going to play for the championship. The best teams now are going to be there in the end. There's not going to be any surprises this year.
No, it doesn't seem like it. And watching just what you were saying, some of the teams that maybe haven't fared as well, you look at a team like Washington, I can't figure them out. Probably going to fire their coach. Phoenix just fired KD Lang, so he's out of a job now. It looks like the Lakers are somehow worse than what we thought they would be, and we thought they would be one of the worst teams in the league. They've drained a little more out of that pool somehow. It's bad basketball. Last week, the Cleveland Cavaliers fired head coach David Blatt. They're going to give Tyronn Lue the job. Tyronn Lue, do anything for you? Is he the guy that's going to take this team on to the next level?
I thought to myself, what? Who? It just doesn't make much sense to me.
We haven't seen Tyronn Lue since Allen Iverson stepped over him. Like, that's the last time he did anything interesting.
Right. The only time I've seen him is him sitting on the bench holding clipboards and whatnot. I haven't seen him do anything, so.
They give him, like, a 3-year extension, so maybe they're just going to take a look at him. I've heard they have interest in Mark Jackson. I've heard they have interest in a couple different coaches. Here's my problem. I'm starting to worry that LeBron James is a coach killer. Because we're seeing this trend. It's not a one-time thing. We've seen this now happen. He tried to get Spoelstra fired down in Miami. He gets Blatt fired in Cleveland. Is this going to be like a stigma that kind of sticks with him as we go further into his career now?
Well, he definitely does seem to want to do his own thing. I know a lot of great players are like that, but he just seems he seems to run the show.
Yes. Can anyone on the Eastern side knock them off? Or are we just stuck with Cleveland? That's just all we have.
Nobody's beating Cleveland in the East.
Ugh, that's not what I wanted to hear. I wanted you to...
Atlanta gets hot from time to time.
Yeah.
But is anybody going to beat them in a 4-game series in the out East? No. It's not going to happen.
And I keep hoping that Chicago will figure something out, but they seem like they're worse.
They never do. Right.
That's disappointing. I want some different blood in from the East. Cleveland has more than anybody. We already know how the story ends if it's Cleveland and Golden State. It's not.
They can't defend him. Golden State. I guess maybe Chicago, but I doubt it. It's going to be Cleveland. Now, I think Cleveland has a better shot. Is a more guaranteed to make the final, I think, than Golden State. I think San Antonio is going to give them some problems.
Well, yeah, because the West is a little bit tougher. You've got San Antonio. You've got a team, I guess, like Oklahoma City. You've got Dallas is playing solid ball. They'll have to come through a little bit tougher of a road to get there than Cleveland will. That's the biggest thing. But
yeah, they will be challenged.
Yeah, it just feels like on the Eastern side, it's just going to be a cakewalk, and there's nothing. I mean, I like I like a little bit of what Indiana does. I like sometimes what I see from Boston. I like some of these other, they just can't consistently do it. And I know when the money's on the line, Cleveland's going to just roll through them, and we're going to have them in the stupid finals again.
Another interesting thing will be, come playoff time, basketball really changes.
Yeah, it does.
So it'll be interesting to see how Golden State, this run and gun, threes and all this stuff, it worked well last year. But it'll be interesting to see if teams can slow them down. I come playoff time.
Well, you know, the best I thought that Cleveland ever played them was when they were without Kyrie, they were without Love, they were without a couple of their scores, and they had to go down and just play tough, hard-nosed defense. They banged it inside with Tristan Thompson. They were giving it to the big man, letting LeBron attack the hoop. That was when they were at their best. Now they're sitting there saying, well, look, we got Kyrie and we got Love, and I'm going, no, you guys don't get it. You're at your worst if you think you're going to play with that lineup.
Right.
Yeah, I don't see it. Let's switch over to the NFL because the NBA is getting on my nerves and it's too early. Got a few things to talk about in the NFL. First off, it's been an interesting year in the NFL. A few storylines out of the NFL this season. The Patriots fall short in their bid to repeat in the Super Bowl. The Seattle Seahawks get knocked off in the playoffs and won't be in the Super Bowl for the first time after going for 2 years in a row. We saw a couple teams, the Indianapolis Colts finish 8-8 and kind of fall off where they were, the Dallas Cowboys. Both of these teams lose their quarterbacks and have, you know, pretty disappointing seasons. It's been an interesting year, but I think the thing that stands out to me at least the most, and I want to get your thoughts, when I look at the NFL right now, the biggest thing that stands out to me is that for all the rules we have to help these offenses, defense is still what is going to win you games. The two teams in the Super Bowl are the two teams probably playing the best defense. For all the offensive, these defense, they just find ways to stop you.
Well, I think it's easy for one to say that, you know, that, of course, defense is the best defenses are in the championship game, and defense has been a big part of the NFL this year. But, you know, I think Carolina's there because of their offense and the things that they can do on offense. Sure, their defense is part of it, but it's their offense, I think, that really sets them apart from other teams, the things that they can do as far as running the ball and with their running quarterback and... No one else has been able to do this ever.
Yeah.
Nobody has played offense like the Panthers do this year, so I think that's something to be said.
What stands out to you? What's the most memorable thing from the NFL season this year?
Well, it was a bit of a disappointing season for me.
Well, of course it was.
As you know.
If you don't know, Raymond in Washington, D.C. is actually a Buffalo Bills fan, so, you know, he's disappointed this year. Just like he was last year and the year before that and the year before that and the year for every single year ever.
Yeah, so this year was a bit of a tough year for me personally, as far as the NFL goes, because, you know, we did not meet our expectations. Our defense did not live up to expectations.
I picked you guys to make the playoffs, and you didn't do anything. You made me look bad.
Well, you know, like I said, the defense had a tough time, but I'm sure Rex will get things figured out and get us on track next year.
When you have a coach like Rex, and I know if he's on your team, you love him. If he's not on your team, you kind of have a more realistic approach, which you look at him like a big dumb animal. How has he grown on you this first year?
I was a fan of Rex prior to him coming to Buffalo.
Were you?
I got there. I totally bought in. Our defense was fourth ranked, and with him coming on, I just figured, well, everyone figured that there was nowhere to go but up. We did go down. I'm still convinced that, I mean, the man is defense. If nothing else, he can coach defense this season. He went on to explain that he tried to merge last year's defense with his own philosophies, and it just didn't work out. Next year, we're just going all in, total 3-4 Rex defense type of situation, and I expect improvement.
Well, you don't have the linebackers to run that 3-4, but it's fun that you think that it'll be better. Here's my biggest question for you and the Buffalo Bills, and we're not going to stay on the Buffalo Bills long because there's nothing to talk about. Will Rex Ryan be getting a tattoo of Tyrod Taylor anywhere on his person?
I don't believe so.
I'm not putting it past
him. He had his jet tattoo covered up, though.
He did?
I believe so, yes.
Do you think the guys in the Bills are, like, a little bit cautious about walking around in the locker room barefoot around him? Or is that not a... Well,
I'm sure that's not a concern.
Okay. It looks like the Rams are going to be moving to Los Angeles. It looks like that's pretty well a done deal. They'll have to go through some approvals and stuff like that. For one thing, I'm not sure Los Angeles even wants a team, let alone a bad, you know, 8-8, 7-9 team every single year, but I understand it. San Diego is going to stay in San Diego another year and see if they can't blackmail their fans into buying them a new stadium. Do you think San Diego's going to end up in L.A. too?
I do. I don't know why the NFL and all these billionaires thinks that the public, like, people are going to vote to use public money to build these huge stadiums for these billionaires.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Well, and not even use them for public use. Build them for you, and then you can have it.
Right, and then all the profits, too. I think if San Diego, well, they're going to tell them no. And I think the precedent has been set. I mean, I think from now, I don't think we'll see any more stadiums with public-funded. I don't think we'll see this much.
I hope not.
Yeah, I think that's way of the, that's gone. That's the old days.
So the, now
public money for stadiums.
Now the Oakland Raiders are talking about, you know, we might go to San Antonio, we might do. Now they're starting to talk about we might have a stadium that could be built for us in Las Vegas. Now, I know there are a number of people out there that are going to say that's a bad fit. It's Vegas. I don't know if you want the Raiders there. There are some people that say it's a good fit. Vegas is a little bit of a shady town, and that would be a good fit for the Raiders. Here's my feeling. Las Vegas loves losers. And you might not think so, but when you think about it, that whole city has been built on people losing money there. If they love losers, they're going to love them some Raiders.
And not only that, you know, Vegas is full of folks from L.A. who don't like football.
Right.
So, you know, it's not a good idea. Vegas doesn't need a team. And right. I don't think they can support a team, to be honest. I don't think it's not a sports town.
No, it's not. I mean, they can barely draw for UNLV, and you're talking about a 7,000 person stadium. What are they going to do with 75,000?
Right. You know, if it's a fight, if it's a weekend event, you know,
yes,
that's what Vegas is for. But for a season long, for a team to be there, I don't think so.
Nah, I don't either. Do you think the Raiders will end up moving? Do you think they'll be back at Oakland again?
Well, they'll play this final year. We'll play this year out. Oakland's not going to build them a stadium, so I think at some point it's going to get to the point where these owners are going to pitch these fits about having a stadium. The cities are going to tell them no. The next city is going to tell them no, and they're just going to have to stay in the stadium they're in.
Do you think that Las Vegas could ever support a professional franchise?
I do not.
Yeah.
If you just look at, you know, L.A., San Diego, they barely support the Chargers.
Right.
Thank goodness the Cardinals are winning because they're coming to Cardinal games, but they certainly don't support any of the other teams. If you just look at the Southwest in general, they don't support sports.
No, they don't.
So
there's too much else to do.
Why would Vegas be any different?
Yeah, and it's funny because most of the people, the argument for not going to Vegas is Vegas, something shady will happen. Dude, if there's anywhere on the planet that is more watched than Vegas, I don't know where it's at. That's not what I'm worried about. I'm worried about they don't have enough of a home Las Vegas crowd that is going to say, we are going to support this team no matter what happens. I don't think they have that. I don't think that's there. Let's jump over to Super Bowl 50. Like I said before, a lot of focus on the offenses in the NFL. They're putting in all these rules. You're not allowed to touch quarterbacks, not allowed to touch wide receivers. You can't do anything. But it's two very good defenses that end up in this game. NFL defensive coordinators, it seems like it may take them a year or two, but it seems like they always, always, always catch up. I think this game is a lot closer than other people may think. It's funny. I was actually watching an NFL show yesterday, and it was from last week, prior to the AFC Championship game. And what they were saying on the NFL Network was they were saying the Denver Broncos are in big trouble because New England is finally healthy. Then I watched the next show, and they said, okay, well, Denver won, but it was only because New England wasn't healthy. Wait a second. You can't have it both ways. Which was it? They either were or they weren't.
You know, Clint, I think this is I don't know if your listeners know that you're obviously a Bronco fan.
Of course.
And I think, like most Bronco fans, especially this season, well, they like to spin things towards the defense because, of course, things work better that way for the Broncos.
Right.
So if you focus on defense, if you highlight defense, well, then the Broncos will win the game. This game is not going to come down to defense. I hate to break it to you, Bronco fans. This game is not going to be about the defense.
It's going to be about the offense?
It's going to be about the offense, and you're going to need to score some points.
Well, here's
Cam Newton, Black Superman, is going to score some points.
Let me ask you this, because I think a lot of what Carolina Panthers do is predicated on their running game. If they can't get their running game going, how does that change what Cam's going to do?
I think their running game. He's part of the running game.
He is.
No one's been able to stop every aspect of their running game. Nobody's been able to stop them from running. I don't think it can be done. I'm sure, you know, Denver's defense is great, but I see them rushing for over 100 yards as they normally do. I mean, certainly I don't think they'll come out and run over the Broncos and just beat them up and bully them up and down the field. I don't think that. But I think they'll have success moving the football consistently. I do. Yeah.
What do you think of Carolina's wide receivers? Because I look at that team. Well, and here's another side of it. I also look at the Carolina offensive line. A number of these offensive linemen are guys that were discarded by other teams because they weren't very good. You're going to be going against a different kind of pass rush than they've seen with this Denver defense. The offensive line for Carolina and the wide receivers for Carolina, I guess, on the offensive side of the ball would cause me a little bit of pause.
Well, I think going into the season, I thought the same thing. 15 victories later, I mean, I'm not sure why people aren't convinced yet. If you win 15 games and lose one, I mean, everybody should be convinced.
Well, yeah, but when you play the Buccaneers and the Falcons every weekend, there's going to be a number of people that aren't convinced, though. You can't. You played like the 28th worst schedule in the league. So, and I'm not saying they didn't play anybody, but consistently week in and week out, they weren't playing big dogs.
You can't be 15-1 and not be excellent. And yes, their offensive line is cast offs, but together as a unit, I tell you, they're pretty doggone good. And those receivers, when you look on paper, they don't seem to be very talented. But it seems like every other game, Ted Ginn somehow gets behind the defense, and Greg Olsen's going to do his thing. You know, they just find ways to move the football consistently, and I don't think this week will be any different.
My concern with their wide receivers isn't so much of them getting open. It's that they aren't very good at the catching part. The catching part has been more of a struggle. And that is the important part.
Well, you know, definitely you got to catch the football. But they've gotten this far, so, you know. Now, I would be, if I were you,
yeah,
Clint, I would be more concerned about how your team is going to move the football.
Yeah, and there's definitely concerns there. You know, it's funny because I look at Cam Newton, and I know there's a lot of people that sit there and they say they hate Cam Newton. I love Cam Newton. I think he can hurt you in so many different ways. I think he can hurt you with his arm. He can hurt you with his legs. He's such a dangerous player in the running game as well as the passing game. He seems like a genuinely nice kid. Why is there so much pushback? You saw, I don't know if you saw the petition that was being signed in Seattle that they were going to petition that he couldn't hand balls to the kid or whatever the stupid thing was. Why is there so much pushback against this kid?
Whenever you're doing well, there's always, there's haters. I think it's that simple.
Just jealousy?
Just hate them. Yeah.
Let's be honest. And he's a young, good-looking African-American kid that has a strong personality and isn't afraid to smile and have fun with it. I think there are a number of people that wouldn't admit to it, but that's a big reason they don't like him, too.
Yeah, unfortunately, yes. I think that's part of it also.
They see him celebrating. Nobody cares when it's J.J. Watt or Aaron Rodgers. No one cares. They don't say anything about it. When it's Cam Newton, all of a sudden they care.
Right, and it's just a dab. And like you said, you don't want to see the man dance and keep him out of the end zone.
Well, exactly.
And nobody's been able to do it.
On the other side, you've got 39-year-old Peyton Manning. Will be the oldest starting quarterback in Super Bowl history when he takes the field. Can Peyton take some really, really good HGH this week? I need him. I need him ready to go on Sunday. I can't have him, you know, limping around and hobbling. I need him. I need him ready to go.
And you know, I totally believe where there's smoke, there's fire.
Here we go.
There's something to that story.
Yeah, yeah. There's something. Yeah. There's something.
There's something there.
There's something to Rex and Mark Sanchez too. Where there's smoke, there's fire. Let me ask you this: which quarterback has more pressure on Sunday?
Hey, Manny, without a doubt,
he already has one.
I think he has pressure because, you know, I think. He has a bad half. Osweiler, we might see Osweiler.
Good.
So he has pressure on himself that he could possibly end up on the bench.
Yeah, but legacy-wise, Peyton's a Hall of Famer. That's already a done deal.
Yes.
Legacy-wise, I hate to say this, and we don't have any idea what's going to happen, but I remember Dan Marino going very early in his career and thinking, oh, he's going to go to a million of them. You don't know that. We have no idea what Cam's going to do in the future. He's got a good young team around him, but we don't have any idea what's going to happen. Peyton has a legacy. Isn't this big for Cam's legacy?
Well, sure, it's big for his legacy. But as far as in the game, I don't think Cam has much pressure on him at all. I think the pressure is on Peyton, you know, to perform and perform well. Not only you know to try to win the game, to stay off the bench. This wasn't automatic. There was a debate on whether or not they would start Osweiler. Yeah, he needs to come out and play well.
We have the number one offense. With Carolina, like you spoke about, versus number one defense in Denver. when we have seen this situation happen in the past, in these big games, it usually favors the defense. Does that change Sunday, or are we still going to see the defense have some success? Because usually in these games, if it's number one, if it's top defense versus top offense, defense wins.
I think it is going to change Sunday, because although the Broncos have a top-rated defense, well, Carolina's defense is not too shabby. And as far as the things that Denver likes to do, well, they're not going to run the ball. They're not going to run the ball on Carolina. But so you're going to have Peyton back there calling all these plays, but you're going to have Luke Kuechly on the other side, and he's pretty good.
Yeah, yes.
So I just think that he'll have a pretty good command on their defense and what they're doing, and I think they'll be fine. He'll be fine one-on-one against Peyton and what he calls out there.
Peyton Manning has had success going against Ron Rivera teams in the past. I remember, especially in the Super Bowl, when Rivera was the defensive coordinator with Chicago, Peyton kind of lit that team up. I know that Peyton can't make all the throws like he used to be able to, but can he find any success against that defense?
I don't know where. Yeah, maybe Emmanuel Sanders might get open a couple times. Other than that, I don't know what the Broncos can do offensively, consistently, to score points against Panthers. I just don't see what they can do consistently. They're not going to be able to run the football. They're not going to be able to throw the ball consistently. They're going to have a tough time scoring 17 points, Clint.
So you see this game playing out. Is this a blowout? Is this a two-score game? What do we got going here?
I don't think the Broncos score more than 17 points
okay.
On offense. Carolina doesn't turn the ball over. It's a win, and it's an easy win.
So you've got a blowout.
As long as Carolina doesn't turn the football over, yeah, they'll blow Denver out. Yeah, I believe that, because I don't think they'll be able to score any points.
This is different coming from you. This is different. Usually you're the guy that comes out and says, hey, defense is going to get it done. Defense is going to find a way. If it's a defensive, this is totally different. You're going over on the offensive side. I feel like you're opening things up here. You're going Steve Spurrier on us.
Well, I do love defense. Don't get me wrong. I really do. Like defense, and I respect Denver's pass rush, and I love Wade Phillips. Thank goodness he's coordinator and not coaching.
Right.
But I just see the things that Carolina can do on offense,
yeah.
As well as, and they have a defense that's pretty good. And when you just look at the two teams, Carolina's best football beats Denver's best football any day.
Right.
I believe that.
Well, here's I guess the other side to that. I don't think Denver's defense allows you to play your best football, and that's where I think this is a closer game than people think. And I know, because we've heard this all year. We'll wait till they see Pittsburgh. We'll wait till they see New England. We'll wait till they see this team. And then for some reason, on the day they play Denver, you're like, oh yeah, we were just cold that day. No, this team kind of makes you look ugly. And it might be all it is, but they make you look ugly. And if it gets into an ugly slugfest, then I think the pressure does shift over to Cam Newton, because you're supposed to be blowing them out. You are the young guy. If it's a 14-17 kind of game late, I think Carolina starts feeling that pressure.
Well, you said slugfest. I mean, what is Denver slugging with?
They'll slug with a little bit of the short passing game, and they'll try to slug with C.J. Anderson and Ronnie Hillman. And they'll go three and out 18 times.
Okay.
But their defense is not going to give up much in the run game. They haven't all year, and they faced some very, very good running teams.
Okay.
When they played Aaron Rodgers, I don't look for them to come after Cam like they did against Brady. I look for them to come at Cam and contain him like they did Aaron Rodgers when they held Aaron Rodgers to under 100 yards passing. I don't think you can't pin your ears back and go after Cam Newton. He'll bust up the gut and beat you. But I could see them play more contained stuff, and I could see Wade Phillips being smart enough to put together a game plan that keeps him in the pocket and says, you've got to find open guys downfield, and then we're going to see if your open guys downfield can make plays or not.
That's one way to look at it. Either way, 17 points is it. That's all the Broncos are scoring.
Well,
with that number, 17, that's a loss.
Well, maybe. Unless Cam turns it over. We have seen Cam have a penchant for having two or three just what-is-he-thinking passing moments throughout the season. And if he has one of those against this defense, he could be in some trouble. Who's your MVP for the game? Is Cam winning the MVP?
Yes.
And you're going, what, like a 31-17, 38-17 kind of score?
I'm thinking a 28-14, 31-14, yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever happens this season, Denver wins it. Denver loses it. Peyton gets benched. Peyton wins the MVP. Does it make any difference? Is Peyton Manning done after this year?
You better hope so. I don't know what he has left.
His body's just broken down on him.
If he doesn't want to use the HGH, hey, what else does he have?
I'm all for the HGH.
I am too. I don't know what his problem is. That's the only way he'll be able to keep going.
I think his problem is the NFL saying no HGH.
But this definitely should be his last year.
Where do you put Peyton? Where do you rank Peyton all time?
He's not my top five. You know, a lot of times with these quarterbacks towards the end, I think they kind of tarnish themselves a bit.
Yeah, but I think that's the emotion of the time. That's like right now we look at him and we say, oh, yeah. But in another 10 years, we'll look him back and we'll say, oh, yeah. I mean, he was incredible what he did do. Some of those Colts team he was taking to as far as he did, I think we'll look at it differently. I think right now at the time you look at him and go, man, his legacy's tarnished. In another 10 years, we won't look at it that way.
Well, then ask me in 10 years because right now it's tarnished and I am not impressed. And right now, he would not go in my give him top 10. He's
but
not
see,
be in my top five.
But if you look at things that way, take someone like Kobe Bryant right now. Kobe Bryant's down around in the 20 area, but that's not where he should be. He's probably 10 or 11, but he's not down. But I look at him right now and I'm like, really? Should he even be top 50? Good Lord. Yeah, well, yes, because we're looking at the emotion of today, and we're not accounting for what his entire career was.
No, I agree with you on that. I think part of it. Well, the way you're able to look at it that way, I think it partially is due to your Bronco shades. That now you're looking at Peyton, he had these fabulous years because he's a Bronco. I think if he played for
I'm not a Kobe fan, but I'm smart enough to say the same thing about Kobe.
Well, Kobe's not a Nugget. He's not a Denver guy. I'm saying he's a Denver guy, because Peyton's a Denver guy, now you're coming with the, his legacy is there, and he doesn't pass the eye test. He doesn't look that great. Ask me in 10 years, but as far as I'm concerned, sure, he's a Hall of Famer and all that stuff, but he's not a top five quarterback to me.
Who's your top five? Give me your top five. If you had to throw out I already know who's going to be on. You're going to say some nonsense. I probably shouldn't even ask you your top five. We should move on. Because you're going to say something stupid. You're going to say something stupid, and when you say it, then everybody that's listening is going to go, that guy's an idiot, and we shouldn't have even been listening to this. Give me your top five.
Let's move on.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, moving past the Super Bowl, you've got Carolina winning in a blowout. I'm going to give you my Super Bowl preview here in just a few minutes. What are you looking at for next year? What should we expect in the NFL next year? Any teams we should keep an eye on? And don't you dare say the Buffalo Bills.
I'll refrain from mentioning my team, the Buffalo Bills, although I think we'll be a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I do see good things coming from Tampa. They just have some nice pieces on offense. The huge receivers, the nice running back. I don't know if they'll re-sign him or not.
They should have kept Lovie Smith.
I think they can make a little noise next year.
Didn't they just fire Lovie?
They just fired him, yes.
Why? He had them going in the right direction. I liked what he was doing.
Well, I think that's one of those, why did you hire him? Why did you fire him? Why did you hire him? I don't. Love you. Give him a take. I just don't know. Really, did he make much of a difference there?
Well, they were starting to turn around. We were starting to see improvement.
Was that because of Lovie?
Yes. You think it was because of Dirk Cutter?
Is that why they lost in the last four games?
You think it was because of Dirk Cutter that they were turning things around? Lovie, you may like Lovie or not. Wherever he goes, he seems like he does pretty well.
Well, he doesn't do very well wherever he goes, and that defense was putrid those last four games, and that's why they fired him. So,
you're ignoring the good things he did.
Some guys are best as coordinators.
That's true. I'll agree with you 100% on that.
Yeah, so,
You seem angry today. You seem crotchety today. Are you bitter? It seems like you are temperamental today.
Well, to be honest, these past few weeks have been rather tough.
Because you've had so much snow?
Well, with the snow, but just the football. My team not being in it.
Well, but then you're grouchy every year. Speaking of which, I don't know if anyone knows this. We actually have kind of an ongoing bet where every year you bet me your life that the Buffalo Bills are going to win the Super Bowl. I have, going back now, quite a few lives that you are due to give me. I don't know what we do about collecting on that. Are you willing to bet any more lives here on the Daily Dose as to what the Bills will do this next year?
Well, since you asked,
yes,
I'll go ahead and put this out there now.
Okay.
I do see next year the Bills winning the AFC East.
All right.
For starters, let's start there.
Start there.
And home field advantage throughout the playoffs.
Oh, of course. Of course.
We'll stop there.
Are they going to advance? I mean, how is it one and done? Or if they're getting home field advantage, they're the top seed. They're going to get upset. Or what do you tell me? They're going to go to Super Bowl. They're going to get upset. What do we got going?
Well, you're a little old school, Clint.
Yes.
So you know, like I know.
Right.
When there's home games in Buffalo in January, you can forget it. We're going to the bowl next year, baby.
Again, are we putting a bet on this again? Are you betting lives? What do we have? No, you're not. You're not going anywhere. You're going to be 8-8 again like you are every year, and Shady McCoy will be griping and saying he wants out of Buffalo because it's too cold.
I think next year really could be the year for us.
I know.
But I don't want to, because I can talk about Buffalo all day and night.
I know.
So, yeah.
Getting on my doggone nerves. Yeah. All right. I've had enough of you. That's it. That's it. I want to thank you for stopping by the Daily Dose. I appreciate your insight. I'm sorry that you're angry and bitter and that you're decided to take out all your Buffalo Bill anger on me and my Denver Broncos, but I understand it because that's just how it is at this time of year, and it's cold, and you're grouchy.
Yes. I will say I do love Denver, the city,
mm-hmm.
and I'm happy that the people, the citizens of Denver, are experiencing a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Again. So
well, thanks. Except for the fact that you have us getting blown out again. So I, you know, that's nice.
Your last one for a while.
Well, really, is that what we're going to say? We're going to go, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Folks, there you have it. Raymond from Washington D.C. coming in here and wrecking my day on another Wednesday. Okay, let's move forward from that whole thing. We've got to get to our Daily Dose Super Bowl preview. You know, here at the Daily Dose, we kind of pride ourselves on getting you ready like no other. The Daily Dose preview, you know, we talked a little bit of X's and O's. We talked a little bit of that kind of thing with Raymond, and of course he was grumpy and you know shared how he thinks the Broncos are going to get killed because being a Buffalo Bills fan, he's very jealous of the fact that he went to all those Super Bowls and never won a Super Bowl, and that Denver finally won their two. So he's always going to be a little bit bitter. But we talked a little bit of X's and O's. Now we've got to get down to the nuts and bolts of what's really going to happen in Super Bowl 50. We've got to get down to who's actually going to win this game. I'm going to give you a score-by-score preview of how this game's going to go. We're going to talk some of the more important aspects of the Super Bowl that you're not going to get anywhere else. Let's jump into Super Bowl 50. Because there's a few things we've got to talk about. There's a few things we've got to get out on the table. Yes, we can talk about Denver's defense. Of course, we can talk about Cam Newton in the offense. We can talk about a number of different things. How are the Broncos going to generate points? I get all that. Let's get to the serious stuff. Let's get to how this game is really going to be decided. First off, who has the best uniforms? Best uniforms. Here's the thing. I love my Broncos. I genuinely do. But the uniforms, they are nothing spectacular. I mean, you've got the Nike swooshes all over, and it was orange, and then it went blue, and then it went back to orange, and nothing spectacular. As far as like Carolina, I like Carolina's uniforms. The silver, the kind of black and is it teal? See, here's the problem. You've got teal involved. And they're better. They have a crisper, a cleaner look, I think, than the Broncos uniforms. But you're using teal, which makes me think you might also be wearing like Bugle Boys and going back to like the late 80s, early 90s kind of thing with your teal. That's a win for Carolina, but it's not a huge win. I'm going to put Carolina up 3-0 on the uniforms. When we go to end zone celebrations, let's be honest. When we get to end zone celebrations, the Denver Broncos this season at least are just kind of surprised to be there. So there really is no big choreographed celebration. They're just kind of surprised to be there. You might see a spike. You might see a flip to the ref. But there's really no big thing because they're kind of, are we really here? We don't get here very often. On the other side, you have Cam. Now, the Superman thing, I'm cool with. The going and handing the football to the kids, I'm cool with. The dab thing, Here's my problem with the dab thing. Here's the problem. When they're doing the dab thing on, like, The View, it is effectively over. It is done. You can no longer do it. When you have those people doing it, when you have people on, like, your nightly news doing it, stop. It's done. It's over. When you have, like, a grown adult, it's enough of the dab thing. Do the Superman, go hand the ball to the kid. And that is not a win for Carolina. In fact, it's close. I'm going to give Denver a field goal on that. We're 3-3. We're 3-3 after celebrations. Best player in team history. Denver Broncos have John Elway. John Elway is a Hall of Famer. John Elway is in the conversation for greatest quarterback in the history of the game. Carolina, probably Steve Smith. I don't know who their best player in history would be. I guess you can say Cam Newton, but it's pretty early to declare that. I guess it would have to be Steve Smith. That is a win for Denver. Steve Smith, very, very good. I like what he brought to the game. Tough, tough player. Is he one of the all-time greats? Probably not. So I'll go Denver is up 10-3 early on. Who has the best fans? Best fans in the country. Now, here's the thing. The Broncos do have some bandwagon fans. I'm not going to say that they don't have any bandwagon fans, because with Peyton Manning coming to Denver, we did get kind of a rush of people that were just Peyton Manning fans. Like, maybe I was a Colts fan forever, maybe I was just a Peyton Manning guy, and now I'll be a Bronco fan while he's there. But they're not true Bronco fans. Having said that, the Denver Broncos have sold out every single home game since 1970. That's going back like 46, almost 50 years. The Panthers just started selling out their games back in 2006. In fact, I would go so far as to say that Panther fans haven't been this excited about their team since they were Seahawks fans last year. That's another win for Denver. I'm going to say 17-3 to Denver right now. Who has the most boring coach? This is a tough one. And this is tougher than you might think. Who has the most boring coach? Because, you know, they call Ron Rivera, the Carolina coach, they call him Riverboat Ron. Almost, it's a sarcastic thing. Like, you hear that and you might think, oh, it's because he's a gambler. It's because for years he wouldn't gamble at all whatsoever. Now he has Cam, he might gamble a little bit more. So Riverboat Ron versus Gary Kubiak. Gary Kubiak, I've met Gary Kubiak. Dude has all the personality of like a turnip. I'm not saying they're not good coaches. I'm not saying that's not, it's just that, yeah, I'm going to give Riverboat Ron a little bit of an advantage. He might be a little more exciting than Gary Kubiak. It's 17-6 Denver, if you're scoring at home or if you're alone. Best hometown restaurant. There's a number of different places. Carolina has like Golden Corral, that originally is from there. Denver has a few. Probably the biggest, best known places for Denver is probably Chipotle. Go to Chipotle. They get you a burrito that looks like an infant wrapped in a tortilla, this gigantic thing. Carolina has Krispy Kreme. Krispy Kreme actually originated in North Carolina. Now, the problem with Krispy Kreme donuts is the very first one tastes like the most delicious thing you've ever eaten in your entire life. After that, though, it's going to make you start feeling sick. You're going to get jittery. You're going to crash pretty hard. Krispy Kremes are very, very good. You can only have about one. Having said that, it won't give you diarrhea like Chipotle will. So I'll give that a win to Carolina. It's 17-13 in favor of Denver. Let's go to best musicians. Got to go to some musicians that are from these places. Colorado and Denver, you've got some bands, not quite as good. You've got like Big Head Todd and the Monsters, and India RE is from Denver. The Fray is from Denver. But I mean, when you look at North Carolina, I mean, honestly, you've got George Clinton. You've got an alternative guy like a Ryan Adams, not Brian Adams, Ryan Adams. I mean, you've got John Coltrane. That's a pretty healthy win. You got Benny King from North Carolina. Wasn't Benny King from back? Yeah, that's a win. That's a win. It's now 20-17 in favor of Carolina, and it's getting late. Okay, final determining factor in who wins this game. Let's go to celebrity fans of each team. That's going to tell us who's going to win this game. Celebrity fans. Denver, the Broncos have Olympic skier Lindsey Vonn. That's not bad. Pretty successful skier. not too hard on the eyes. North Carolina has Sports Illustrated swimsuit model Brooklyn Decker. Not bad. Okay, I'd say that's about you know, even right there. Denver has UFC fighter Holly Holm that just knocked out Ronda Rousey. That's not bad. North Carolina has Golden State Warriors guard Steph Curry, who is just having a phenomenal season. So yeah, that's not bad either. Denver has NASCAR driver Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch is a big Denver Bronco fan. North Carolina has, okay, well, they're out. They don't really have anyone else. Huh. Yeah, I can't really find anyone else for North Carolina. Denver also has Jessica Biel. Not bad. Denver has Kate Hudson. Kate Hudson is a big Denver Bronco fan. Denver has South Park creators Trey Parker and Matt Stone. Pretty good. Yeah, Carolina still doesn't have anyone else. Okay. Denver has big Denver Bronco fan Pam Grier. Seriously? Foxy Brown? Foxy Brown is a Denver Bronco fan? Sorry. Winner. Denver 24. Carolina 20. You heard it here first. As we do every single week, we need to get to our Daily Dose top five. You know, I was thinking about the top five, and I was looking at Cam Newton and some of the things that he brings to the table. Some of the things that he can do, the way that he runs an offense, the way that he's involved in the rushing game, as well as the passing game, the snap that he has on his passes. I think there's going to be, at least there's a possibility for, there's a chance that Cam Newton could be one of those guys that kids are looking up to in another 10 years. They're saying, I kind of patterned my game after the way that Cam Newton did. Now, it's early to say that. I'll be honest, it's early to say that. Because let's be real, it was just like 3-4 years ago, we were saying the same thing about Colin Kaepernick. So I'm a little hesitant to put Cam Newton in there, but he's just one of those guys that he could create a generation of players following him that kind of try to do things the way he did. So today, for our Daily Dose top five, we are going to list five quarterbacks that changed the game for future generations. Top five right here. Number five on our list has to be Fran Tarkington. Fran Tarkington, known as the Scrambler, you know, there had been runners before, and this is back in the 60s and 70s, there had been runners. We had seen guys like, you know, like Bobby Douglas that just ran the ball. He was kind of Tebow before Tebow. He just ran the ball and ran the ball and ran the ball, wasn't a very good thrower. Fran Tarkington changed the game. When he played for Minnesota in the 60s and 70s, it wasn't that he was a runner. He was a scrambler. And he bought time with his legs so that he could still attack you with his arm. He kept plays alive. He took the Vikings to 4 Super Bowls, went to 9 Pro Bowls. But when you see guys like Russell Wilson, like Aaron Rodgers, like Cam Newton, like Steve Young, that bought time with their legs, but not as runners, just so that they could get some extra time so they could still use their arm to hurt you down the field, they're going back to a guy named Fran Tarkington. He absolutely changed the game. Number four on our list of quarterbacks that changed the game for future generations. Gotta be Joe Namath. Broadway Joe. Understand this. When we're going back to these kind of days, there was a time no one thought pro football would work. College football was king. Nobody thought the pro game was going to be anything popular, and it certainly wasn't going to be what it is today. But when Joe Namath came along in the AFL with the New York Jets, he came along and he totally changed the way we looked at football players. He was throwing the ball all over. He was brash. He was a little bit cocky. Sound familiar? Kind of sounds like, you know, Cam Newton. He had the ads. He was doing TV ads. He was hanging out in the social scene. He was being seen in New York. That's why he was being called Broadway Joe. Every quarterback coming since then that has these big contracts that we look at and we think, oh, I don't know if he's a cool guy. Oh, he's the quarterback of the team. Oh, well, then he's a cool guy. That is all going back to Joe Namath. Joe Namath wore the white shoes and everybody copied him. Joe Namath had the crazy hairdos and everybody copied him. Joe Namath was wearing the fur coats and he just made being quarterback cool. When you look at some of these guys now, they're not cool. When you look at Andrew Luck, I've got news for you. If he's not playing quarterback, he's just Big Andy. He's not anything cool. He's cool because of Joe Namath. When you look at Russell Wilson is a geek, but he's cool because of Joe Namath and what we think of as quarterbacks. Joe Namath's got to be on the list. Number three on our list. You know when you see, and we see it in the college game, we also see it in the pro game, you see these quarterbacks go up to the line, and they're looking at the defense, and they're reading the defense, and they're seeing where the linebackers are, they're seeing where the safeties are, they're seeing what coverages they're getting, and then, once they recognize what the defense is in, then they call the play that they want, they get the play that they want, and they snap it. You see Peyton Manning do this. You see Tom Brady do this. You see Eli Manning do this. You're seeing this more and more and more. This all goes back to the Buffalo Bills, Jim Kelly. Because Jim Kelly, was running the no-huddle offense, walking up to the line, reading what the defense was giving him, and then making his calls. He went to four Super Bowls, basically calling all his own plays. I mean, it's pretty incredible when you think to what Jim Kelly was doing. Yes, they lost those four Super Bowls. But Jim Kelly took the Buffalo Bills to the Super Bowl. And he did it calling his own plays and running a spread offense that was way before its time. Now we see spread offense everywhere. We see it at the college game. We see these college kids go up to the line. They look over to their coach. Their coach holds up a picture of Mickey Mouse, and then they go, okay, call the Mickey Mouse play, and then they run the play. That's what Jim Kelly was doing 20, 30 years ago with the Buffalo Bills. Jim Kelly, without question, changed the way the game was played. Number two on our list has got to be Doug Williams. Doug Williams was not the first black quarterback, but what Doug Williams did was he won the biggest game on the biggest stage as a black quarterback. And he inspired a generation of kids that for so long had heard, well, you can play football, but you can't play that position. And the thing about Doug Williams that he did was it wasn't that he did, because there's this stigma. Well, they do it because the black quarterback has success because they're more athletic. The black quarterback has success because he's just faster than ever. That wasn't the case with Doug Williams. He did it with, he was a hard worker. He was a smart guy. He stayed in the pocket. He outworked everyone else. That wasn't what young kids had seen up to this point. When you look at guys like Robert Griffin or Vince Young or Cam Newton or Donovan McNabb or Michael Vick or some of these Russell Wilson, you know, players, they looked at a guy like Doug Williams and said he can play the position, and it has nothing to do with athleticism. It has to do with hard work. It has to do with dedication. It has to do with preparation. And that's what Doug Williams brought. He wins the Super Bowl. Also, when you think back to that Super Bowl, you might look at the Super Bowl that he won, Super Bowl 22 against the Denver Broncos, 42-10. It was a blowout. That's not how the game started. The game started with the Broncos taking a 10-0 lead on the Redskins. And Williams getting hurt, leaving the game with a hyperextended knee, and then coming back and taking them apart. This wasn't given to him. This wasn't anything that he was given because he was just on this great team and they just plowed through the Broncos. Doug Williams took it and changed the game. He's inspired a whole generation of young quarterbacks to do the same. Number one on our list of quarterbacks that changed the game for future generation. I don't know if this is close. I don't think it is. It has got to be the Baltimore Colts. Johnny Unitas. Johnny Unitas revolutionized the position of quarterback. I want you to think about this. Johnny Unitas was one of the first quarterbacks to ever start throwing timing patterns. When you take a snap and you take three steps back and you know this receiver is going to go 6 yards down and cut in and I'm going to throw it whether he's there or not, that all goes back to Johnny Unitas. Three-step drops, five-step drops, seven-step drops, timing patterns that when I get my back foot back there, I know he's going to be breaking, and I'm going to throw it to a spot. I'm not just going to go back and look for a guy that's open. It was a pass-first offense. He created the hurry-up two-minute offense. Johnny Unitas was a four-time champion, a 10-time Pro Bowl. Every modern quarterback, and I don't care who we're talking about, going back to the 70s, Bradshaw and Stabler and Staubach, into the 80s with Kelly and Marino and Elway and all these guys, Montana, Young, you name the quarterback, they all owe a huge debt to Johnny Unitas. He absolutely modernized the quarterback position. Next week on the Daily Dose, we will have our Super Bowl recap. We will also have some NFL awards that you will want to tune in for. You know, we got to hand out a few awards. Try to talk a little bit of NBA. Got to start getting to, at some point, some college basketball. College basketball is interesting this year. It is wide, wide open. Have to say thank you to Raymond for being on the show today. No one brings the show to a crashing halt quite the way you do. If you get a chance, head over to iTunes, give us a rating, give us a review. We would appreciate that so much, and make it a 5-star review. We would appreciate that a lot more. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. Hope you all enjoy the Super Bowl. I will see you all next week.